so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy Monday to you. Well, here's a loaded question for you. When you think of the work of the Holy Spirit, what instinctively comes to mind? When you think of the work of the Holy Spirit, what instinctively comes to mind? Do you think of God's Spirit as your comforter, your guide, your teacher? Or does your mind suddenly go to excesses you've seen, which make you pull back and feel cynical and make the Holy Spirit a no-talk issue? Well, you know, if you listen often enough, you know I speak at conferences, and my hubby and I, we cross denominational lines all over the place. We love the Christian church. We love the church with a capital C so very much. And we're, you know, on one hand, we're such our great honor to talk to evangelicals and to talk to Baptists and to talk to Christian missionary alliances and those from Assemblies of God. We love, love the church. What makes me sad, though, is just strict dividing lines. Division, actually, when it comes to this issue. It's one thing if you want to stay in your lane and that's your tribe, and I get it, there's, you know, but do we have to divide over it? Do we have to get cynical about it? I mean, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. We've divided over this precious Holy Spirit to the point where some don't even want to talk about him. But the Trinity, he's part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is a precious gift to us. So here's another question. Do you find it difficult to see the Holy Spirit's work in your life? Do you want to learn more? Do you want more of God? I hope the answer is yes. Well, my guest today is Sarah Bowling, and she joins me to talk about her book, Heavenly Help, Experiencing the Holy Spirit in Everyday Life. And so no matter what denominational persuasion you come from, I pray you scoot up with a humble, teachable, listening heart and ask the Lord, speak to my heart about this today. I want more of you, God. Help me hear from you. I'll get her on in just a minute. A couple quick announcements. One, I'll be speaking at First Assembly, actually, Friday, May 5th and Saturday, May 6th. That's in the Fargo-Moorhead area. I would love to meet you. Friday night is open to guys and gals. Saturday is women only, but it's only the first half of the day, so it's not a major commitment. Very affordable as well. You can just Google First Assembly in Fargo, and you'll find that there's a whole page on their website or my Facebook page, facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. Also, if you're traveling this season, we'd love to have you take us with you. Faith Radio has a free app. You can live stream our shows from anywhere, catch podcasts after the fact. Check it out in Apple App Store or in Google Play. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Sarah Bowling is daughter of Reverend Wallace and Marilyn Hickey. She joins her mother as Bible teacher on their worldwide daily TV program. Sarah founded Saving Moses, an international nonprofit organization that provides resources for children in need. She and her husband, Pastor Reese Bowling, co-pastor a multi-generational church in Denver where they live with their three children. And dear Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Susie. It's so fun to be on with you. Thank you so much.
Yes, so good to be with you as well. So we love to start every conversation talking scripture, and I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or just one you've been pondering these days that you can share with us.
Yeah, I've been thinking about Colossians 3:16. You know, Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you." And I love that because for me, you know, I grew up with boatloads of Bible. So much Bible is coming out of my ears. And I didn't appreciate what it meant to let it live richly in me. And yet now, you know, I'm raising my kids or teenagers, and I want so desperately for the Word of God to live richly in them, because when the Bible, when God's Word lives deep and rich in us, then we have the fruit. We have the consequences. We have strength. We have assurance. We have faith. We have confidence. We have, you know, direction and all kinds. All the stuff that's in the Bible comes and starts to dwell in us, and then we start to have some of that abundance overflow. And I think so much of the world that we live in now is desperate. We don't need information, but we absolutely need the Word to dwell richly in us. So I've been chewing on that for a little while, and Love letting the Word of Christ dwell in me. Oh, my goodness, I love it.
I love it, too. And dwelling in you richly, such a beautiful picture from Scripture, because it is possible to rehearse Scripture to the point where you're almost disengaged. You know, you it's a rehearsal. You're rehearsing it. It's important to do that. But when it stops going down into your heart and engaging your faith, there's times where you're saying something, but you're disengaged from it. And I think letting it dwell richly is really deeper even than rehearsing it. It's knowing it. It's believing it. It's walking in it, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, this is a great example. And I love that, because we can do the rote thing. For God so loved the world, he gives only, you know, we do the rote. But what I've been doing lately, and I mean lately, like for several months now, I've been praying the verbs from Romans chapter 8. that are associated with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, he talks there about walking with the Spirit, you know. And so I've been praying, help me, Holy Spirit, to walk with you. And so this is an example of the Word of God dwelling richly in me, in my prayer life. And so throughout this day, I prayed ahead of time, help me to walk with you as I do this interview this afternoon. And then, you know, he says, the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. That's the word phroneo. And so I've just been going through these verbs, and these verbs start to dwell richly in me. And then I start to see that stuff roll into, you know, my mind, that my mind doesn't go down dark alleys and have these really, you know, bad thoughts and dark things and all this. And then, you know, Paul talks about oikio, that the Holy Spirit dwells in me. And that's, oh, and I love that. And then the idea of putting to death the acts of the flesh. And then, you know, being led by the Spirit. Those are the sons of God. And then the Spirit bears witness, sumaterio. And so letting the Word of God and all that stuff dwelling richly and letting that just kind of ruminate and marinate in my mind throughout my day. Oh, my goodness, helps me. Helps me parent my teenagers, helps me to be a kind wife, you know. Keeps Love the wheels that. On the bus.
Keeps the wheels on the bus. Spoken like a true mama. Wow.
Yeah.
So your daughter, well-known Bible teacher Marilyn Hickey, and you were raised with a deep heritage of faith. I would love for you to just talk about your growing up years.
Sure. Grew up largely in the charismatic renewal. And didn't really appreciate what that meant until I started going to Lutheran schools in sixth grade. And I thought, you know, I was like, wow, you know, that I thought everybody was, you know, Assemblies of God, Spirit-filled, speaking in tongues. I just thought that was normal. And then I remember in sixth grade, first day of sixth grade, my Lutheran school, and this little friend of mine, she took me inside. She says, I know who you are. And I'm like, yeah, what? I know that you speak in tongues. And I'm like, doesn't everybody? She's like, not here. And I remember thinking, oh, what happened? And then I found out I was the odd man out. But it was great because those Lutheran investments in me really drived down peers in my heart, anchored me in my faith. Always grew up with my mom telling me Bible stories. And, you know, not just the, like, kind of David and Goliath garden variety. I had, like, Chushan Rishthaim and all these guys. They were, like, you know, hard, heavy-duty Bible stories. I'll never forget Balaam and the talking donkey, you know. So I always grew up with that stuff, and it was good and rich. But then, too, I'll never forget, as a little girl, four and five years old, I used to have the run of the church. Because, you know, my dad's a pastor, and in the, you know, weekdays, especially in the summers, you know, I just hang out at church with my dad. And I'd go into the sanctuary, and I could sense, even as a little girl, I could sense, at that time I didn't know, I just knew I sensed God, sensed the Holy Spirit. And cultivating that, letting the Holy Spirit just kind of draw me along and help kind of shape and influence and mold my appetites, you know, my desires. Because I remember, right, I always gravitate back to the sanctuary just because I liked the presence there. And so it was good. Good experiences growing up. Saw some crazy stuff, too, and some stuff that was kind of like, woo, you know. A little kind of repelled me some because I thought, man, that's just a little off the deep end. So, but, you know, it's good. As pastor's kids, we're always around people, and that's always a super helpful skill to have, cultivate throughout your whole life, right?
Indeed. Well, I appreciate that so much. And, you know, you heard my opening monologue that there are divisions and there are, you know, some right assessments of some extreme things that were called the Holy Spirit. I mean, R.T. Kendall says, you know, has really written excessively about that. Lee Grady, who endorsed your book as well, really, you know, really good about towing the line, saying we can't call all of this the Holy Spirit because some of it's man-made. And because of some of those extremes, other denominations are suspect. And I want so much to have a conversation today where people of all denominational persuasions can hear what God has for us. But I'd love for you just to speak, if you would, just from your perspective, because in your book you write about you went through a time where you were pretty cynical and at least suspect of some of the stuff that maybe was normal to you initially. Talk, if you would, about the divisions that you see and help us kind of land in a place where we can, what can we all agree on?
Yeah. Yeah. And I did see some crazy stuff growing up. And I think I do absolutely, people throw the Holy Spirit under the bus, you know, to justify their own flesh, their own crazy. And some of it, I genuinely think there's a little bit of some mental instability sometimes. And I think that we have to follow the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus absolutely speaks to that. And that's immediately what, I mean, he doesn't even call the Holy Spirit Holy Spirit in John 14, verse 16 and 17. He says the Spirit of truth. And I think that if we don't walk in truth and really high grade, make that a premium quality that we pursue is truth, then I think we're just victims waiting to happen, you know, because deception, that's what, and John says that too, John 8:44. The native language of Satan is lying. And whenever he opens his mouth, it's a lie, it's deception, it's distortion. So if we can't really make truth a premium pursuit, then I think we're just waiting for a train wreck. And I think so much of the deceptions and distortions and all that stuff is because of these little white lies or little tweaks or little distortions. And I think you just have to anchor down real tight into the Word of God and make truth absolutely ground zero and accommodate your life to truth instead of trying to tweak truth around your life. So I think those are some essential ingredients to kind of keep some of the crazy at bay. But on the other side too, I think there's a danger on the other side where I think we get very intellectual. And that was my problem. I grew up, I wanted to be super smart. My first degree that I signed up for, first semester, was physics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, where was that coming from? But I wanted to be like a nuclear engineer or something. I want to be super smart. And because of that, I would, if I couldn't understand it, then I would dismiss it immediately. And I think that the things of the Holy Spirit are not always intellectually apprised. And there's a balance, absolutely a balance. But I think if we don't find our underpinnings in the Word of God, then we're going to err on the side sometimes of being too intellectual or not balanced and too flaky, if you will, sometimes. So
that was perfect, Sarah. We're going to pause here. When we come back, there's just a little more I want to ask you about that. You framed that so beautifully. There's that one side that we want to put the Holy Spirit in a box and in a predictable formula. He will not be hemmed in that way. The other side, where some are going from one sensational experience to the other, and I love that truth is the underpinning. So we're just going to kind of encapsulate that a bit more, and then we're going to dig in to Sarah's book, Heavenly Help, Experiencing the Holy Spirit in Everyday Life. We've got three copies. If you want in on the drawing, just email me. And if you've got questions for Sarah, that's a great place to ask them in your email, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember your mailing address, and we'll be back in a minute. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Sarah Bowling. She's the author of the book, Heavenly Help, Experiencing the Holy Spirit in Everyday Life. And Sarah, you just did such a great job before the break of just sort of framing, kind of crossing the divides, because the Holy Spirit is such a, I mean, he's third person of the Trinity, and yet we've managed to make it such a breaking point in so many ways in our fellowship with each other across these denominational lines. And you said truth needs to be the underpinning. And I remember reading an article from R.T. Kendall, who I'm just greatly respect. I think he's so balanced. And he'd said that there was a revival and there were some of the crazy things happening. And but he felt a check in his spirit. He didn't feel like this was something that he was supposed to jump on board with. And he watched several nights in a row the messages online. And he said never once was the gospel preached. Never once. He said it felt like to him one sensational evening after the other, but the gospel was not preached. And we're going to cover both sides of this equation, friends, whatever side you're listening from. But then again, on the flip side, Sarah, as you said, we can't. This is not an intellectual pursuit, and the Holy Spirit will not abide by our formulas and our wonderful time schedule that we try to box him in. So just if you would say a few more words about that, and then we'll dig into the whole idea of heavenly help.
Sure. I think that so many times we want to understand and control
Yeah.
I think if we really get down to it, I think sometimes it's a control issue. We want to feel like we're in control. We want to have everything managed and calculated and planned and organized and structured and predictable. And I think that's a noble goal, noble intention. However, I don't think that when we talk about God, the creator of the entire universe, I think that that's a little bit naive to think that we're going to button down God and be that Trinity. I mean, shoot, we have to have Trinity to describe who God is. And even that, theologians can't even articulate that and get their arms around that really well. So how on earth, it just seems illogical to me that you're going to button down the Holy Spirit, you know, in this little controlled, confined, predictable, and you know, boxed in presentation. I just think that there's a lot more to the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad. Oh, my gosh.
Yes,
if my life was in my control, it's a disaster. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful the Holy Spirit helps me.
Yeah. One last thought, too, just for those who maybe are on the side where you're more suspect and cynical toward those who have a charismatic bend or persuasion. When you've had an encounter with God, you know, there's nothing. The Bible says, you know, the fullness of joy is found in his presence. There's nothing like it. So those who are going from one sensational thing to the next, most of the time it's coming from a place of, I want to taste or touch something I once felt, tasted, and touched. You sure understand it. On the flip side, there is something noble about the daily grind of walking intimately with God in your private everyday life and not just going from meeting to meeting, altar to call to altar call. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's kind of why I wanted to pin this and frame it from Colossians 3:16.
Yeah.
That the Word of God dwells richly in us. And growing up, I mean, that's always been an underpinning for me, and that's always been ground zero for me. And you know, I've been to great revival services, and I've been to more than a few where I've been super skeptical and very critical. I mean, even with the prejudged, you know, predisposed, you know, this is a bunch of flaky, fruity, freaky people. But with the underpinning of the Holy Spirit and always wanting the Holy Spirit to lead me and to direct me, and listening with the Word of God as ground zero.
Excellent.
So I just think that's so helpful.
Boy. Okay, so talk more about the Holy Spirit's role in our lives and what ways he helps us.
Yeah. You know, I think for whether a person is charismatic or not charismatic, evangelical or not evangelical, you know, I love that Jesus speaks to the Holy Spirit before the day of Pentecost in John chapter 14. And, you know, for charismatics, we tend to start at, you know, Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But we don't often go back and say, wait a second, you just got to think for a second. If those things that happen, rushing mighty wind, funky little flames over people's heads, people speaking in all these freaky, weirdo languages, if that would have happened and these disciples hadn't had any kind of training or tutoring or teaching prior to that, like most of us, we would have like run out the windows, jumped out the windows, ran down the door and just freaked out. But they didn't. And they didn't because Jesus taught them who's the Holy Spirit well in advance. So he gave them a tutorial in John chapters 14, 15, and 16 and said, this is who the Holy Spirit is. And so when the Holy Spirit is outpoured in Acts chapter 2, nobody loses the plot and freaks out because they're like, no. We already been coached all along who's the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit do? And so we can kind of walk together and do this in synchronicity instead of freaking out and dropping our teeth. We can flow together in this. So I think that's such an essential ingredient is start with John chapters 14, 15, and 16. What did Jesus say? And this is Gethsemane. He walks out the door and goes to Gethsemane. So this is the very last thing he tells his 11 closest followers. Even Judas wasn't there. So this is like his last, look, guys, this is the last thing I want to tell y'all. I'm going to tell you about this Holy Spirit that's coming. And I'm leaving, but I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit. So Jesus absolutely framed all this stuff before everything hit the fan, with his crucifixion, resurrection, all that stuff. He locked this super high important premium. The last thing he said, basically, was giving this ABC tutorial on who's the Holy Spirit. So if his disciples needed it, who had been walking with him for 3 years, how much more do we need it?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Desperate.
And desperately. Yes, so true. So, Sarah, we've got 2 minutes to our hard break, so if you have to carry this answer to the other side, let's do that. But, yeah, no, nothing like pressure. But, hey, you're a TV gal.
I love it.
You got this.
I love it.
You got this. So the person listening today who's been just trained up and raised up to really, where the Holy Spirit is more of a no-talk issue because of the divisions in the body of Christ around this, what are they missing?
Help. They're missing help. Because that's what Jesus says from the very beginning. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. And there's not a person listening that doesn't need help. And I don't care if you're charismatic. I don't care if you're an atheist. Everybody on the planet needs help.
Amen.
And that's who the Holy Spirit is. Ground zero, help.
He's illumination where there is darkness. That's one of the things that you talked about. I'm giving you about another minute and 15, so you can
sure.
You could do a whole sermon,
sure.
I think, in a minute and 15.
Well, I just think everybody needs help.
Yeah.
I need help. I'm collecting my kids after school. My husband, he tweaked his back yesterday, brushing his teeth. There's not a person that doesn't need help. I need help cooking dinner. I don't know what I'm going to cook for dinner tonight. I need so much help. I'm the poster child for help, and I'm happy with that because if I think I can help people connect to the Holy Spirit, supernatural, divine help, all the better because we absolutely went at our most honest moments. Every person needs divine help. Mm-hmm. We absolutely need it. I don't care if you got everything scooped and you're the most premier person, got it all locked in. Everybody needs help.
Everybody needs help. You and me included. Talking to Sarah Bowling, title of her book is Heavenly Help, Experiencing the Holy Spirit in Everyday Life. And isn't that, that's biblical, but isn't it just sweet too when you think about it? The Holy Spirit is your heavenly help. He guards, he guides, he directs, he corrects, he brings clarity where there's confusion. This Holy Spirit, what a precious gift from the Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you want in on the drawing for this Heavenly Help book, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. And if you've got a question about the Holy Spirit, you sure can include that in your email as well. We'll be back in a minute. For tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise, talking to Sarah Bowling. She wrote the book Heavenly Help, Experiencing the Holy Spirit in Everyday Life. She dug into scripture. It's a beautiful work. If you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. And if you just tuned in, we've been talking in the first two segments, just inviting you, no matter what your denominational persuasion is, to maybe lay down divisions and differences and scoot up and just embrace a humble, teachable heart so we can have an honest conversation about what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. Because we've seen some put him in a box as if we can program him right out of the service, which we can if we are not open to his involvement, or seeing excesses that maybe turn us off and scare us away. But the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. And I'd love, Sarah, I love this that you said, one of his roles is help. He gives us heavenly help. That's why you titled the book this way. Give us some examples from your own life of times where the Holy Spirit intervened in a way you knew was just him, it was tangible, and it was help for you.
Yeah, I just had a conversation, interesting. I had a conversation with one of my kids' teachers just like an hour ago before I got on the phone. And we were talking about he was having a rough day. And I didn't know he was having a rough day, but I just knew the Holy Spirit gave me a couple of verses for him. So I emailed him because, I don't really know this guy that well. But I knew ahead of time that the Holy Spirit wanted to encourage him with these particular verses. So I did. I emailed him and said, here you go, Mr. So-and-so, Mr. Smith, that's a nice protect the innocent. But I said, here's some verses just to encourage you. And so I talked with him just, you know, within the last hour, and he's like, oh my gosh, that was so spot on the money. He said, you had no idea. I had just kind of called out to God and said I was really struggling on some stuff. And right then when I asked, I got that email. My little bell went off, bing, you know, got an email. And he said it was just completely 100% on the money. And so, you know, I see that. I see that with my kids. You know, I'll know something's going on. And some of it's mother's intuition, but I'm not that smart. And I'm really not. And I'll know something because the Holy Spirit will say, check this. That happened with my daughter so a few months ago. And I was like, And I was putting everybody to bed, and I felt the Holy Spirit said, pop in her room and check. And sure enough, I did. And she was doing something. We have a rule in our house, you know, no electronics in your bedroom, no computers or phones or whatever. And sure enough, she had her computer with her. And I was like, what are you doing? So I caught her, and I was like, we'll talk about it in the morning, but this house rule. And it was the Holy Spirit directing me, and just so many different ways, you know. I travel a whole boatload, go to all over the world, going to Bangladesh in a couple months, and actually next month I go. And I see the Holy Spirit help me when I travel. I get to pray for people, helps direct me as far as, you know, sometimes I need to make decisions on the fly. I'm like, I need some wisdom here. So just so many different ways. I mean, and then growing up, this is great. Truthfully, I'm more of an introvert than an extrovert. And people would always say, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, yeah, what's wrong with me? Why can't I pull this together? I'm a pastor's kid. I ought to be able to do this. And I remember one time, probably about 5-7 years ago, I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, you know, I'm really having a hard time mingling. And that sounds really stupid.
I'm exactly like that, Sarah. I very much am 100% resonating with you, but keep going.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, I'm supposed to go in the church lobby and mingle on Sunday mornings. And I was like, ugh, you know, I just toilet. I'm just so awkward, you know. And I remember hiding, literally hiding behind this pillar and asking the Holy Spirit, I can't do this. I need some help. And Holy Spirit said, I'm with you. I got your back, Sarah. I remember hearing that distinctly. I got your back. And sure enough, I went out and started to say hello and be friendly. And whenever I felt like, you know, that little constricted throat thing, I was like, Holy Spirit was there. I got your back. And I kept hearing that little whisper in my ear. And I was like, thank you.
It's amazing. I remember when my kids were, I'd say they're probably adolescent, preteen at that point, three boys, and I'd battled Lyme disease in my early years terribly when they were really young. But I'm the worst mingler. It's like, it's torture for me. And we had just moved to a northern suburb, and we were visiting different churches, and nobody said hi. You know, and so I went into the bathroom, and I was hiding in the bathroom. I mean, you hid behind a pillar, at least, you know, people could find you. I was in the stall, and I'm like, nobody's talking to me, and I'm so bad at this. And the Lord whispered in my heart, how long have you been a Christian? And I was totally schooled, and I'm like, 20-something years. And he said, go back out there. Someone needs you. And look for the person who needs you. And I marched back out there, and there was a young mom leaning against the wall with tears in her eyes with three little kids. And I walked over, and I said, how are you today? And she said, not so good. She said, I just found out I had Lyme disease, and I don't know how I'm going to make it with three little kids. And I said, I've had Lyme disease. So I got to pray with her and talk with her. And as I'm walking away, she goes, are you on staff here? And I said, no, I'm just visiting. And I was so schooled by that moment, Sarah, because my selfishness, I would have stayed in the bathroom the whole time. But the Holy Spirit really did help me step out of my comfort zone. As silly as that sounds, but it was a divine moment, you know?
And that's so true. It's so true. And I think, you know, Proverbs says it. We always say, lean not on your own understanding and all your ways acknowledge the Lord. But so many times we do. We lean on our own strengths, our own wisdom, our own thoughts, our own abilities. But when we get pushed out of the comfort zone, or when we let ourselves walk with the Holy Spirit, good things happen. It's a little scary and a little nerve-wracking, to be sure. But, man, I love it.
Wow. Remember, too, many years ago in Minnesota, we had a bridge collapse, I-35W, many years ago. And that particular night, my son was playing on worship team, and two of the guys were late. Nobody had not known that the bridge had collapsed, but these two students had both separately, in separate cars, felt the nudge to take the long way to church, even though it was going to make them late, and they didn't know why. They get to church, and then they hear on the news that this bridge had collapsed. That would have been the bridge that they'd have been on, and that, to me, is just profound. Talk, if you would, even more about some of the other ways that this Holy Spirit not only helps us, but what are some other roles and functions of the Holy Spirit in our lives?
Yeah, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, I talk about this, leads us into truth. And I just, this has been really echoing in my heart for several months now, because I think, you know, I don't think we appreciate so many times the mental conversations that we have. And, you know, we go and like you hiding in the bathroom, me hiding behind the pillar. And those mental conversations, you know, I feel like an idiot, I'm a jerk, nobody likes me, I'm weird, people, you know, I'm a wallflower, you know, all mental conversations. And I think if we don't have the Holy Spirit speaking truth to us, then the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, the deceiver, I don't, you know, like Eve, when she talked with the serpent in the Garden of Eden, I don't think he had a big S on his chest with, you know, pitchfork and horns saying, I'm the devil or I'm Satan. The enemy masquerades in some of those conversations and disguises himself in those mental conversations. And I think if we don't let the Holy Spirit speak to us and lead us and direct us and take those thoughts captive and really bow them to the Lordship of Jesus, then we tend to get smaller and smaller and smaller, and our footprint and our effect and our influence. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do, is decrease our impact, decrease our influence. And I don't say influence in the sense of, you know, like political influence. I'm just saying in the sense of genuine love and loving people. You know, Romans 5:5 says the love of God is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. I can't love well without the Holy Spirit. And you know, that's such an essential ingredient. Jesus says in John 13:35, people know you follow me by your love for one another. Well, if I don't have the Holy Spirit pouring on a consistent basis, pouring love into my heart, man, I'm going to get depleted and run on Sarah love, which gets really not good. But that Holy Spirit love pouring into me and flowing through me, That makes Jesus look super irresistible.
Wow, beautiful. Well, you unpacked John 16, verses 8 through 11 in your book, and I'll read it, and I'd love for you just to speak to it, if you would. The scripture says, "And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin because they do not believe in me, and concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you no longer see me, and concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged." If you would, do a little bit of teaching on that passage.
Whew, such a rich, deep passage. How many times I read that? I've read it for like decades and not understood it. And I remember when I started teaching through it, I just asked the Holy Spirit, like, whew, man, you need to download some help on this one, because this is so deep and rich and thick. What do I do with it? And how do I help people? How do I help people live in this truth? And so the idea of conviction, Holy Spirit convicts us. Conviction is the idea of change, of training, of instruction. It's not condemnation. Condemnation says there's no hope and you're stuck. Conviction says there's hope and change and you need to make these adjustments.
Amen.
And so the Holy Spirit convicts us, but on those terms, sin, righteousness, and judgment. So in the idea of training us, coaching us, that we don't have to be victim to sin, that sin doesn't have to control us, that actually we live and rule and reign in this world because Jesus, the Lordship of Jesus, is stronger in us than that sin attraction. And righteousness is doing, in essence, what God does, loving people, and also expressing that love and expressing the power, the presence of God. And then judgment convicts the world of judgment. You know, and this is the other thing I'd say, and I think that we don't often get this. When Jesus speaks in there, he says he convicts the world. The world would be the people who don't follow Jesus. but I do follow Jesus. So he confirms in me. He convicts the world. This is not good, guys, sin, righteousness, and judgment. But in me, as a follower of Jesus, he confirms. The Holy Spirit confirms in me and says, you know what, Sarah? I've made you sinless because you walk in my righteousness. You walk in my holiness. You walk in my footsteps. And I'm going to confirm the works that Jesus did. I'm going to confirm those through you as well. I'm going to confirm you don't walk in judgment. You walk in victory because Jesus conquered the grave, conquered the enemy, and that same victory lives in me. So those are all just super essential ingredients, thinking about conviction for the world, but confirming. Holy Spirit confirms for me as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, confirms these things for me. And I don't live in the condemnation. The devil's always trying to condemn and accuse and steal from me. But the Holy Spirit says, nope, I got this stuff locked in, and I've got abundance for you, far beyond you know in your natural mind or living. So that's just kind of one little way to look at it.
That's beautiful. And we've got about a minute here till our next break. But when you think about grieving of the Holy Spirit, when you think about kind of that inner almost wince, when you know you're stepping off the path, what do you call that?
Yeah, it's that wince, right?
Mm-hmm.
I felt that. I felt it earlier today. And I felt this, oop, and I circled back and changed what I did because I was like, ugh, I missed that. And I don't want to do that. I want to be super sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I think we all, the more attentive and sensitive we are, the less we grieve. But that's all, man, Paul talks about that stuff in Ephesians and super essential stuff that I'd say let's jump into that if you want in the next section.
Indeed, let's do it. Talking to Sarah Bowling, title of her book, Heavenly Help, Experiencing the Holy Spirit in Everyday Life. Kathy, just got an email from you. I'd love to see your address so I could get you in the drawing. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember your mailing address, and you can sure include a question or comment if you need to. More great conversation with Sarah Bowling on the Holy Spirit when we return. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Sarah Bowling, having a fantastic conversation, a very balanced biblical conversation about the Holy Spirit. If you've got questions, if you're just wondering what the role of the Holy Spirit is in our lives as the third person of the Trinity, go back and catch the podcast after the show, the live show is over. Title of her book is Heavenly Help, Experiencing the Holy Spirit in Everyday Life. And Sarah, we were going to talk about conviction for the world versus that inner kind of wince. Lots of times Christians call that conviction, when you start to feel kind of that little, you know, wince is what I call it. I can just tell if I'm on the rumble strip, so to speak, and I kind of make a course correction. Say more, if you would, about that.
Yeah, and I think, too, I do think this. I think there are pieces in us. Granted, I follow Jesus, and I love Jesus, and I've devoted my life to being a follower of Christ. However, there are pieces in me that are still, so to speak, worldly, or if you want to call it fleshly. And those are the pieces that I believe the Holy Spirit puts his finger on and says, hey, I'm not happy about this. It's not good. Your attitude here, you were cranky here. You were impatient with your husband. You were snarky with that person over there. You were not kind to the person, whatever, at church or, you know, whatever. I mean, just figure something out. Or my own hostile attitude sometimes, you know, get in dark thinking. The Spirit puts his finger on that stuff and says that's worldly and that's fleshly. And you can't walk. You know, Paul says that. Walk in the flesh. You walk in the Spirit, you won't gratify, won't walk out the desires of the flesh. And so I just think that conviction, there's pieces in me that are still worldly, little slivers that need to be, hopefully slivers and not logs, that need to be kind of, you know, extracted and said, you know, look, this isn't good. And we need to put this on the table and deal with it and not let it continue to fester and grow and be poison in your system. So I think all important stuff.
No, so much. And it goes back to what you were saying before the break, the difference between conviction and condemnation, that the Lord Jesus calls us up, the Holy Spirit calls us up, invites us up to be more like Christ, you know, where the enemy beats us down. And so just when we get that conviction or that sense of just inner you know, inner witness that go a different way, the enemy could come right in and try to accuse us too. And we've got to get good at discerning whose voice is who. But Kathy wrote in and she said, love this conversation today. She said, here's the question. When someone says God told me or the Spirit wants me to tell you, how do you know for certain it's from God? How do you deal with one in Bible study like this? That's a really good question. Good question.
I know, right?
Because it gets misused.
How many times have I had somebody tell me something wonky, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, right.
And it gets a little bit stressful. Here's a couple things I'd say to that. Number one, first and foremost, I'd say, of course, you have to listen in your own heart. Does it bear witness in your own heart? Does it agree in your heart? But I'd also say this. I used to be super, super critical. In fact, just to be honest, I used to just dismiss, like, majority of that stuff because I was like, ugh, bunch of crazy people. However, I think I'm getting a little bit more mature in my walk with Christ where I can say, you know what? I can see that you honestly want to follow and flow with the Holy Spirit, and I want to applaud that. Way to go. Because we all want to. I mean, in our better moments, we want to follow the Holy Spirit. So a person who's trying, let's applaud them, right? I mean, even if they miss it, at least they're trying. So many times we don't even try because we're just afraid to miss it, right, and whatever. But I think trying needs applause and needs commendation and good job, way to go. However, if the person is off and it doesn't bear witness in your own heart, Or you know, it's got to line up with the Word of God. It's ground zero. That's got to be the ultimate plumb line is the Word of God. If it's contrary to the Word of God, you know, of course, you say, I thanks so much for wanting to flow with the Holy Spirit. However, you know, the Bible doesn't really agree with that. And so I appreciate that you want to move and flow in the gifts. But I think before you get too far down that road, let's make sure you're really locked in super well. With what the Bible says on that particular topic. So I think that's got to be ground zero.
That would be a great and mature response. I mean, just ironically, this weekend, two different people told me about things that people, like this dear listener was saying, that they came to them and had a word for them, and they were such destructive words. Two separate people, two separate stories. But those things got in them because they couldn't tell if it was true or not because it was at a very vulnerable time, and it had to be undone, you know, years later, because it just sort of it dropped like a bomb in them. And so on the flip side of a person who deeply wants to be used of God, and you do take risks, maybe issue a caution, if you could, about being so careful as to speak for God.
Yep. And I've done that. And in fact, even yesterday I was praying. We were at church and some people came up to receive prayer. And I felt the Holy Spirit put something in my heart for them. And I said, this is what I sense in my heart, and I'm going to share it with you, but I could be wrong, and I'm fully human and acknowledge that I have shortcomings and deficiencies, and there's flesh filters, and I don't want to miss God, but how does this settle in your heart? Is this feel
Love
good?
That.
Does it feel right? And I've had people say to me, no, that doesn't make any sense, and it was good because I'm learning, and I'm growing, and I want to be humble and teachable. And so I want to be able for somebody to say to me, no, Sarah, that was, and I had some people say that to me, nope, that was off the mark. Okay, thank you. And I appreciate the honesty because it helps dial me in better. It helps me instead of just being flesh led and pride and all that. Okay. And it keeps me humble. And that's a good thing.
Indeed. And sometimes if you sense you're getting something, I love the way that you preface it. That's pretty much what I do as well. Just saying, I submit this to you, pray about it, but it's just a sense but sometimes on the receiving end, a person may not want to hear it, and it's just not for now, but you can still be gracious, you know. And I love the quote from Soren Kierkegaard that you quoted in your book, and he wrote, there are two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't true. The other is to refuse to believe what is true. That's a great quote. You want to add any thoughts to it?
Soren's one of my favorite guys, right? Between him and R.T. Kendall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Great, deep thinkers and solidly, especially RT, obviously solidly rooted in the Bible. But I just think if we're going to walk in truth and really make that a priority, we have to make the Holy Spirit, you know, kind of premium, high-octane priority. So We can't be fooled, and the world that we live in has all kinds of crazy deceptions. We've got to have the Holy Spirit at the minimum to immunize us from that deception stuff.
Mm. And the thing is, God is always doing a new thing. And if we just get so affiliated with our past experiences that we don't even have a context that God might want to blow the doors off of our preconceived notions about what God might do in and through us, we may miss something. I mean, I wonder if you could make a charge for us to maybe engage our faith, to be teachable enough to say, God, do a new thing in me. Show me something about you that I don't know, because I guarantee you there's lots about him that we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I even said that to our church in the last several months. I said, you know what? I said, I think sometimes we miss God because we benchmark the move of God based on our past experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if that's the measure, then there's no flexibility for new and fresh and creation. If you think God isn't creative, then we kind of miss the whole plot when you look outside.
So true.
Right? Mm. I mean, we can't miss God. We can't frame him in the past and miss the, you know, live in the embers. We've got to go for fresh move of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Love that. I got to read an excerpt from your book, Heavenly Help, and then it'll be just about time to pray. Sarah, this has gone so fast. But Sarah writes this: when I consider the Spirit of Truth, I'm encouraged that this third person of the Trinity is not some spooky, kooky, esoteric, or misty idea that evaporates under stress, distortion, or scrutiny. Rather, the Spirit of Truth is integrated into my daily living, keeping me aligned with trust and protected from deception. As we learn how to walk in truth with a helper, we will find ourselves less vulnerable to internal and external deception. The Holy Spirit is our beacon of truth in a deceptive world. I'm wondering, as we get ready to pray, Sarah, that you just pray for all of us, that we could come to honor the third person of the Trinity, you know, to give more, bend an ear towards heaven, to have a teachable heart so that we can live and walk in the Spirit on a deeper level. Would you pray that for us?
You bet. Father, I thank you right now for sending the Holy Spirit to us. Mm. And for each person listening, myself in this, not just closer to the Holy Spirit, wherever we have kind of resistance or opposition or hesitation, help speak to those things. And Holy Spirit, we do want to follow you. Please help us to be attentive, aware, and increase our interest, increase our passion for you, and help us to walk in your truth every day in Jesus' name.
Mm. Amen. Sarah Bowling, I sure like you. Thanks for joining us today.
You're a rock star, Susie. Thanks for the
Hope you'll come back again. Title of Sarah Bowling's book is Heavenly Help, Experiencing the Holy Spirit in Everyday Life. I would love for you to get in the drawing. Just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and remember your mailing address. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, Todd Smith from Selah will join me to celebrate the release of their brand new album, Unbreakable. It's another Artist Corner. We're going to play some songs and hear some stories behind the song. So don't go away. Another great hour of Live the Promise is up next.